These past 3 weeks, we are so blessed to have what I like to describe as non-males speaking from our pulpit. We like to speak of the negative sometimes in this country. I don't mind being called a non-female. Anyway, we've had amazing women of faith speak from our pulpit. And today, too, is a real treat. Two seminarians from the largest Presbyterian seminary in Korea. In Korea, they just call it Changshin for short. In English, it's Presbyterian University and Theological Seminary. Have spent a month with us, and today is the last day of their month-long internship, and they will be on their way this coming week. Yeji tomorrow and Uni on Wednesday. And they've learned some things here, they've witnessed some things here, they've seen some of our craziness, and we've been changed by them, and they've been changed by us. 2 years ago, two women from PUTS came here and spent a month with us at that time. Some of you may remember Una and Grace. And then they had a transition in the program, so they put it on hiatus last year. But this year we're blessed to receive these two women, and it has been a wonderful experience for the many of us who have gotten to interact with them. So they want to give a testimony, and these testimonies are focused on their discernment, particularly about vocation, as they are on the journey of theological education and pastoral formation and wondering about the kind of future that God is preparing for them. So I'll invite Eunhee Wang first to testify, and then Yeji after that.
Good morning, church. I always want to say this, so... Thank you. I can't believe this is the last Sunday. Okay, here is my testimony. Basically, I will read here so that you can fully understand. I cannot say how much I thank God for giving me the time to be here at Church of All Nations. Being with good friends is such a healing and restoring time, and it has been such a blessing to laugh, talk, hug, eat, and share our thoughts, fears, and love together. I originally came here as an intern from the Presbyterian Seminary in Seoul, Korea, to learn about multicultural ministry. But, sorry, it's just beginning. But what I really learned was what it means to be family among Christians. It has been such a healing, restoring, shaping time for me. I want to share my story with you now. When I think about my vocation, this verse comes to mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. It is said in Luke 10:27. A week ago, I sat alone in the cafe at Silverwood Park next door to this church, and I wrote in my diary, reflecting on my time here. I read an entry that I wrote this past December before I came here about my leadership of a large student missions group at Changshin Presbyterian Seminary, of which I served as president. I was walking across the square on a really cold, windy, and snowy day. There was nobody around in the usually crowded square. This bitter day made me feel that my leadership is so cold. I felt that my leadership lacked warmth and affection. I always saw myself as a loving and understanding person. So how did it become so distant? I was struggling inside. I didn't want to hang out with a lot of people. I could not trust people around me because I had experienced so much attack and so much betrayal and so much jealousy. I wanted to quit my position since I had not recovered from my previous wounds. I wrote a prayer in my diary. Lord, Let me rest in you so that the warmth I have experienced in you can overflow to others. Let me be a resting place for others so that they can find peace, healing, and joy. During my time here, I slowly started to reflect on why I cannot really trust others, why I keep open my heart to others. Looking back at my life in Seoul from Minnesota gave me a clear picture of how I had departed from true discipleship. For me, it became increasingly difficult to trust anybody in seminary and to open my heart to others. How did it happen? I used to love people because I loved God so much. But I love God because He loves me so much. When other people treated me badly, I overcame by having compassion for them. But now, it is hard to do. Why is that? And after talking to Pastor Jin, it became clear that the reason I cannot trust people is because I do not really trust God. Because if I trusted God fully, who works in the world, I would have trusted people, even when a few people betray me, because God will work in those people's heart in the end and bring healing for them and for me. Even if they never repent, it would still be worth it to forgive them and love them. But now I cannot do that anymore. When my thoughts reach up to this point, I have realized one thing, that this problem had started when I started to deny to carry my cross in my life. I need to give you my background a little bit. From 2009 to 2012, I studied theology and counseling in London. The longer I was there, the more I could sense the undercurrent of racism that polluted the school. I convinced that God was calling me to start a prayer meeting, as there was a lot of politics going on at school. Not only was racism a major problem, but study of theology itself seemed to be a god. I did not realize that something as simple as starting a prayer meeting would be seen as a political move by faculty and administration. As more and more students gathered for prayer, as we cried out to God for justice, as the Holy Spirit gave us momentum, I was told to go back to Korea. They could not kick me out of their program entirely, but they succeeded in making me a distant learning student, so I was basically banned from campus. I didn't understand it at the time, but it was a traumatic experience. I still loved God, but could not trust people as easily. But I still thank God for the experience. It was painful, yet beautiful, since I could feel God's love even more. When I came back to Korea, I started to lose focus on discipleship. I cried out to God, "Lord, it is so painful. I don't want to lead anything. I didn't want to carry any cross, since it was so heavy. I was so burned out." When I started to lose my close relationship with God, it also began to hurt my relationship with others. I found it hard to forgive those who hurt me and betrayed me. I lost the ability to love and trust others. When I started to deny the way of the cross, becoming cold inside, getting hurt more and more. I see now that if one loses the fear of God, one becomes victim to fear the fear of man. And I felt like the cold, empty square at my seminary. I knew I had to change, but I didn't know how. And then I was reminded of this passage in Luke 14, 33 to 35. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who hears to hear, let him hear. I became the sort that lost its saltiness. I was so sad, burned out and lost. But God is so gracious and merciful, giving me the chance to be here in this community. God gently reached out to me and allowed me to rest here with you. And I have started to breathe, started to see clearly, started to love, and started to focus on Jesus again. For me, This community has been amazing. Embodiment ministry. Sorry. Genuine community, true discipleship. Thank you. And every single person matters. Each person is considered an important member of the family, but also no one is special either, causing all to be humble. Through your love, I can breathe again. It has been a wonderful experience staying at Pastor Jin and Sunbaek's house with Claire and Austin and Yeji. It has been a true family for me. The healing began when I breathed in the Holy Spirit with others in this community, laughing, eating, sharing our true selves, even our agony and fears, and ultimately hope in Jesus Christ and His beloved community. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jin shared some of his story with me and Yeji. He talked about the joys of ministry, but also about some of the trials he faced as he preached truth about the society. I have seen that he does not fear for reputation, but loves others deeply, even at great risk to himself. His commitment to follow Jesus, even to the point of the cross, has exposed my own lack of faith, broke my stubbornness, and gave me new confidence that I too can follow Jesus with courage. At the moment, I started to cry because I saw myself, my hesitation in following the narrow way of Jesus. I realized that I lost the power to love others because I came to fear the opinions of others. I was not God-centered, but me-centered. And now my prayer is to follow God with my whole heart and to carry the cross as a true disciple. I confess that I allowed my self-centered desire to drive me. After months of experiencing friendship and love in this community of Church of All Nations, and through counseling with Pastor Jin, I feel like I am now able to think straight. I need to start again by taking up the cross and focusing on Jesus. God is my rest. God is my life. God is the reason I live this world. God heals me so that I may walk faithfully in the way of Christ. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you for listening.
Hi, Church. I already cried a lot before, so I hopefully I'm not crying. Okay. Yeah. First of all, I really thank God for giving me this opportunity to share my testimony with you. Without God's grace, I could not have been here. More on later. Okay, let me talk about my life in four stages. Do you see this glass? Yeah. Isn't it so pure and transparent? Like this glass, when I was young, I was honest and transparent. I grew up in a Christian family where my father, mother, and younger sister all went to church every Sunday, Wednesday, and even Friday for prayer meeting. I love to go to church and pray because whenever I pray to God, He seems to answer all my prayers. In this first major stage of my life, I was like, just this glass. If you pour something into the glass, everyone can see what is in it. Likewise, I think everyone could see how much I loved God and how faithful I was to the church. But the problem is that I have to move many times, about 10 times as a child, from one province to another because of my father's job. That left me vulnerable to bullying by other students. Whenever I moved to a new province, I was the target of bullying as an outsider all the time. Thankfully, I was too young to recognize it as real damaging. This fractured glass is a symbol of my second stage of my life. When I was in middle school, I studied very hard and got higher grades than any other student. But I didn't know why I was studying or what my vocation is at that time. My goal was entering foreign language high school, which was the top high school in Korea. So I kept studying and praying hard to enter the school. I was pretty sure that God will let me enter this school, you know, and God accepted. But, you know, I failed. I was so sad and disappointed. I was like this fractured glass. If you try to pour something into this glass, it would leak. Likewise, even though I received God's love and grace, my heart was leaking. One day, when I was praying, I sensed God saying, "Why do you study so hard? For you or for me? I want to use you as my instrument. Whatever you do, do it for my glory." I was so impressed and touched by God. I felt like I was born again. Thanks to this conversion experience, I could figure out what my vocation is a little bit. I wanted to teach God's love and preach the gospel. I thought my vocation was to be a professor in order to teach theology as well as to preach the gospel. The third stage was the worst period of my life. Yeah, look at it. When I was sophomore at Presbyterian University and Theological Seminary, I got to study in Australia as an exchange student. But when I was there, I was ignored and isolated due to what I perceived as a racism. Because I was so naive, I was shocked that even fellow Christians could be so racist. Looking back on it now, I see that the bullying I experienced in childhood due to Korea's provincialism maybe made me vulnerable to the racist bullying I got in Australia. Both experiences made me feel vulnerable and somewhat afraid to truly share with people. Like this third glass, I felt shattered during my time in Sydney. As broken glass cannot hold anything, I couldn't hold the grace of God. My vocation seemed to be fading away. Now to the present. Last August at my university, I saw the announcement about internship programs abroad in the bulletin. At first, I didn't even think to apply because it's a secret. Undergrad students like me can only apply to the program in New Zealand. But graduate students can also apply to internship in the US, like Eunhee. Due to my trauma in Australia, I did not want to go anywhere near there. So true. Yeah, still now. Whenever I prayed, I sensed God wanting me to apply for the US internship, not New Zealand, even though I did not technically qualify. So I decided to plead with Dr. Guan, who was in charge of the international internship program. By God's grace, he let me go, which is how I came to Church of All Nations, a miracle. I think it was the best decision ever in my life. Over the past month, I realized that I was not as fully healed as I had assumed, but as broken pieces of glass can make a mosaic. I see that God has used Church of All Nations to put me back together into a beautiful mosaic. I feel stronger, more love toward my neighbors, and more whole than ever before. Let me share a few things I've learned from this church during my internship. First of all, sharing from community housing. After I came here, the first thing I did was tour some of the community houses. I saw the Fink House, Cheram House, and the Wrong House. It's so hard. I couldn't believe what's going on in these houses. They shared all things, food, hospitality, and even cars. But not panties, you know, that's a joke. But it's still optional, you know? Yeah. They don't have nico nico. It means there's no yours or mine. They just gave me whatever I needed without any expectation to give back. According to what Pastor Jin said, sharing through community housing can help people save money as well as feel a sense of belonging, leading to a richer and healthier life. What an amazing life. I am eager to apply what I've learned in Korea. Second, illumination from underground seminary. In Korea, I studied only theology. Sometimes professors said to me, you have to study history and psychology as well. But they didn't explain why I had to do this. However, after I listened to many discussions on history and economics as a guest at underground seminary, I realized the fact that the reason why I have to study other academic fields is that we cannot fully understand the Bible and theology without a broader context. Also, I got many new insights and perspectives as I think about Korean culture through a new lens, through a whole new lens. It is like turning on the light. I can see so much more now. Thanks to Church of All Nations, Underground Seminary, and Pastor Jin, and Sunbaek, and Austin, and Claire, I see people here constantly learning and eating good spiritual food, which means that you guys are really, really blessed. What an amazing grace. Thirdly, discipleship from pastor. Not pastors. Interestingly, yeah, the most shocking thing for me was how Pastor Jin behaves. It's not a joke, you know? Yeah. Seriously, yeah, calm down. He does not want to rule over church members and separate himself from church members. He eats with them, uses same bathroom, and sometimes... not panty, you know. Yeah, just bathroom, yeah. And sometimes makes them laugh as if they were friends. He looks like one of the church members. This is unbelievable and unimaginable in Korea. He tries to follow what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Also, He is not greedy and grasping. That means that he is ready to give up anything. What an amazing life. Thanks to this, his discipleship, my behavior will be changed, hopefully. Yeah. And modified a lot as assistant church staff in Korea. I'm pretty sure of that. I want to be a disciple of Jesus, not just a church worker. Last but not least, healing from Church of All Nations. I think of Church of All Nations as an oasis. First, anyone who is really thirsty can drink water for healing and recovering. Also, there is no barrier between people, even among different races and cultures. Furthermore, anyone can rest and receive hospitality for a while here. What an amazing and healing place. Can I come here again? When I have no money or when I am hurt a lot? I'm joking. Now I can think of all my traumas as God's gift. Without brokenness, I cannot be renewed or changed into another form. Likewise, without my traumas of racism, I cannot understand people who suffer from racism. But God is healing me through this church. The longer I'm here, the clearer I see what my vocation is: sharing, studying, following Jesus, and healing. Being a true disciple of Jesus is more important than anything in the world. Even though I am somewhat nervous about my future, and even if I have more brokenness ahead of me, I'm not afraid of serious discipleship because I'm pretty sure that God will be with me, protect me, and heal me. As Isaiah 64:8 says, "O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Dear God, mold us into your image. Make a new mosaic out of our broken pieces and help us to be your disciples. Amen."